A British soldier very recently was butchered to death by two terrorists who, while they were doing this ghastly act, were raising Islamic slogans. Quite obviously, this unfortunate incident has raised many fears, apprehensions about the attitude and behavior of the terrorists, and indeed of Muslims at large as well. It goes without saying that what has happened is very unfortunate. There's no doubt about the fact that it is un-Islamic. Islam does not condone any such acts, and most certainly it is an act that has been undertaken by a few individuals, and a vast majority of the Muslims stand completely, clearly, and openly against it. However, I can understand that many non-Muslims are not going to be simply impressed by a mere statement of that sort. We must know, therefore, what exactly are the religious arguments that have been presented, or are they continue to be presented by these terrorists in the name of Islamic arguments, and we must know why those arguments are incorrect. Primarily, what these terrorists are saying is that the non-Muslims have attacked the Muslim lands and they are killing their Muslim brothers and sisters, and therefore it is the religious duty of all well-meaning, God-fearing Muslims to come to the help, aid, and rescue of their Muslim brothers and sisters in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Palestine, etc. The fact of the matter is that in the correct Islamic understanding, no jihad, no war can be undertaken except under the rule of a Muslim ruler who is actually ruling over a certain land. Most certainly, none of these terrorists has, thanks God, any rule anywhere in this world. Therefore, those who are undertaking war in the name of jihad are doing something which, according to the unanimous agreement of all classical earlier jurists, is wrong, unacceptable, and haram, prohibited. Muslims can enter into a war with another army, provided if a Muslim ruler feels that there is a need for such a war, and that declaration is open. A war is undertaken in a battlefield. The battleground is quite clearly geographically earmarked. No other act of killing can take place outside the boundaries of the place where the war is taking place. That again is an Islamic rule which cannot be violated. The Prophet of Islam, may God's mercy be on him, spent 13 years in Mecca. He was opposed, he was ridiculed, and at times physically attempted to be abused, not only him, but his companions. But none of these incidents provoked him to declare a war against the people who were doing it, because he did not have the authority of a ruler in Mecca. As soon as he migrated to Medina, he entered into covenants, agreements with Jews, with other inhabitants of Medina, and he became the ruler of the city-state. And when the Meccans threatened to attack Medina, a war was undertaken. In other words, no war from an Islamic point of view is possible unless you have the legitimacy of a state. Most clearly, there is a state in Afghanistan which is run by Muslim rulers. Whether it is popular or not is a different matter. From a legal position, it really has got no bearing whatsoever. De facto, there is a ruler in Afghanistan. If anybody wants to do anything about what is happening to the Muslims and the non-Muslims, then that ruler has got to be employed to play a role. This is the Islamic position. And if somebody kills another person outside the war zone, where a war is declared by a Muslim ruler, if that is not the case, then killing a person is as if you are killing the entire humanity. And if somebody is killing in the manner that these people have butchered that soldier, it tantamounts to doing something which is causing mischief on earth, which is even a more serious and a severe crime, which needs to be condemned from an Islamic point of view. What exactly should the British society and the British government do about it? Quite clearly, they should be concerned about what exactly are the messages talked about and going around in the Muslim places of worship, because it's very important that no religious message should be allowed to be communicated which incites people towards terrorism, towards declaring a war against people without any Islamic legitimacy. So there has to be some mechanism adopted so that what is being talked about in these places of worship, in religious gatherings, should actually be monitored. The moderate voices should be encouraged to become more popular, more heard, and the Muslim population should be brought in the mainstream activities of the British society. A dialogue, a polite, intelligent dialogue should be undertaken so that people who are vulnerable to the voices of terrorism, they are brought out into the mainstream discussion and they do not become victim to those discussions. And the elders of the Muslim society should be encouraged to make sure that youngsters do not become a part of those isolated groups that talk to each other and do not allow their discussions to be shared by others. Quite clearly, there's something very wrong happening in some isolated parts of the society. The British society in general and the Muslims, conscientious, moderate Muslims in particular, should take care of the fact that no extremist terrorist message is allowed to be promoted. Wherever it is mentioned, it should be condemned, not just by raising voices, but also by mentioning the arguments of Islam based on the authentic sources.